Sì.
Of calling the public to participate. And that public participation is the one that informs us as to how we should move forward. Now, I have said before, and I'll repeat it again, that members of the public and the stakeholders must always have confidence in Parliament and in government on the issues of lawmaking. Always have confidence in us, especially the committees of Parliament and Parliament. Have confidence that the committee will listen. If they listen, the committee will do its best to make sure that the issues that were raised are taken into account. Having listened to you last week, stakeholders, to media fraternity in particular, we resolved as a committee that we should invite you again today. We should invite you again today because ourselves, we find that the issue we are dealing with is a very, very big issue that needs all of us again to sit and to agree which will be the best way to deal with the problem that the bill sector has addressed. So therefore, we partners in trying to find common ground in this issue. We'll play our part, informed by, again, your commitment as stakeholders as to how you'll help us to address the problem that we have identified together. The reason for doing this exercise is because we are informed and we understand very well the constitutional right of media in particular. Therefore, this committee will not, which obviously at the end of the day, the issues of the constitutionality of the bill, the committee will always try to be in line with that particular approach, that we don't trample into a right as enshrined in the Constitution. But at the end of the day, if we have done that, there are still other structures that can be able to address those decisions, if there's any. Obviously, I'll make mention, as I said even before, that having to deal with this bill does not end with us here. Still have to go to the presidency and the other structures beyond that, beyond the presidency, that can sort of look at the issues which are raised on the constitutionality of the bill or what, which we have the constitutional court in place to deal with that. But would not want to have that situation as I said before. That is why this second meeting is called today. Will not want to do that. Will not want to trample into the right of the press, print media, the broadcasters, and the rights of the children. Because at the end of the day, children are the ones who go through all of these problems that we're trying to address. Now, this morning, I've already spoken to a number of you privately and formally just to give you the approach in which we want to take. Obviously, it will sound quite very much abnormal. But no, we went to the committee, have made the presentation, therefore what do they want from us? I'm saying for the reason that the issue we are dealing with lies with yourself most of the time, based on the constitutionality of it. Therefore necessary that we should continue with you to find this common ground. That's the reason why we are here. We will not come to the conclusion today as a committee that we are going to amend clause so and so, but having engaged with you and brought your commitment into this problem definitely to happen when we get to the committee next week, when we do clause by clause, we'll definitely deal with issues that will have to deal with. I know that the ICASA currently is busy with the new code of conduct. And it will be the benefit of this committee, for the benefit of this committee, to get the approach in which ICASA is taking, especially on the issues of child pornography as it's raised in the bill. Because that would also translate into helping yourself as you do your self-regulation guided by that particular watch for a code of conduct. And again, look at issues of synergies between yourself and Film and Publication Board. Because what the committee discussed last week would not in fact understand clearly this issue of the role of Film and Publication, the guidelines that are given by Film and Publication with yourself, did not come up quite very strong. Therefore, we'll give the Film and Publication and ourselves to tell us now as a committee, how do we deal with these issues that a Film and Publication, the guidelines that Film and Publication gives you. Because it was sort of said in the 90s that we do have guidelines from Film and Publication that help us. So how, at what level do you deal with that? You know, and then we will hear again, because we have looked again at the issues of capacity within Film and Publication. That in whatever that they may want to, in whatever that is proposed in the bill, does Film and Publication have capacity to deal with the challenges? And it's something that that is going to come up quite very strong in this meeting together with stakeholders. So that we are very sure ourselves that the body called Film and Publication is capable of dealing with this issue. Because at the end of the day, when we conclude this bill, ourselves must be quite very sure that the body that is trusted to deal with this issue can. If it cannot, then it's a problem. What's the use of them wanting to legislate on something that they themselves cannot in fact perform? So these are some of the issues that I thought we should sort of hear this morning and then be able to get the commitment and the support and the understanding, general understanding on the issues facing us. Therefore, what we'll then do is that they will allow members to ask any questions that they still have after our deliberation. If there's no question from members, what we'll then do is that we'll afford ICASA a platform to sort of outline the approach in which they're taking into this new code of conduct. We did not deal with it in the last meeting. And then from there, stakeholders will come, as we've invited you, a FANF and other stakeholders that we have here today, to make sort of firm proposals on the issues that are before us on the bill. Also, that's where we are. You know, finding a common ground is a very difficult thing to do. It's not an easy thing because sometimes you want to compromise certain things. Sometimes you want just to walk over and then just say, we'll meet somewhere else and we don't want that approach. Therefore, it's important that we sort of pick up the progress that is going, I mean, issues that are going to unfold in the near future. And we recognize the fact that ICASA has a role to play here. We recognize that fact quite very thoroughly. That ICASA has a role to play in all these issues that we are dealing with. And then ourselves at the end, with all parties, with everybody, will be able to work on the basis that there is this commitment in place, this is how we're going to move, and we respect the fact that the issue of freedom of the press, nobody must, in fact, is an attempt to sort of want to take away that freedom. It's a freedom given, it's a right given, therefore, it's a right that must be respected and be protected all the time. And we have said that even before. But obviously, within that right goes with responsibilities, and those responsibilities must be obviously respected and the name of protection of of what you did. I think I could have captured what we discussed, just the good members. Therefore, obviously, the further engagement today would be just an open engagement. If anyone wants to make a further presentation, we'll have to deal with that in that session. Lastly, before I give what's called the chance, the issue then came up again on the issue of cell phone and this advent. It was said that it's uncontrollable. The issue of cell phone, there's nothing that you can do, therefore leave it. The essence of the presentation on the issue of cell phones was like, there's nothing we can do further than, it's uncontrollable, because there are new technological things that are now coming, therefore it's difficult to police. But we believe that something can be done to address that particular area. I think that's where we are. Or members can sort of add maybe before. Is there anything that members would want to add? Let me give Björkman, and let me give a Swart. Björkman and Swart, just to add into the issues. Yes.
Well, thanks, Chair, for your introduction. We appreciate the opportunity to again engage on the bill. Maybe just to say, I think it will be good for public record, because after our discussions that we had last week, there was very interesting articles about the portfolio committee, what are we doing, we don't know what we are doing. And I think maybe just again for the record, maybe put on record where we are in the process. Because again, it's very important, I think, for all role players to understand the difference between the executive and the legislature. Now, if a bill is before this committee, and I want to refer specifically to the rules of the National Assembly, because I think if people read the rules of the National Assembly, they will understand where we are in the process, and that we do not have any other sinister motive. Processing Committee, Rule 249. If a bill has been published for public comment in terms of the rules, the National Assembly Committee to which the bill is referred must arrange its business in such a manner that interested persons and institutions have an opportunity to comment on the bill. Now, we've been busy with that process since August. And then, very importantly, because I think many of the articles that was published last week, I don't know whether they're aware of this rule, 249.3a. The committee must inquire into the subject of the bill and report on it to the assembly. So it's quite clear, it's compulsory, we must inquire into the subject of the bill. Even if the bill is not desirable or perceived unconstitutional, whatever, we must inquire into the subject of the bill. And that is really the process that I'm dealing with here this morning. Then 249.3b, if it's a bill amending provisions of legislation, we may seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into amending other provisions of that legislation. We may consult other committees. D, we may consult the member in charge of the bill. So we really have 249.1a. And I think it's very important that understanding is really put on the record, because I think last week there were some articles and indications that this committee do not understand the process, we want to go in, but that's where we are, and that's the reason also for that the second interaction. So I just want to, from the ANC side, put it on record, that's where we are. 249.13a, if people do not the rules of the National Assembly, they are available.
No, thanks, but for the one point that you raised, that the issue, I want members to do one thing, to refrain from their political party position now, right? We will deal with that after we have deliberated on the bill, when we come back, because we're still going to give opportunity for parties to go back and discuss it, and they'll come back with their own amendments at some point. Therefore, I'm going to appeal to my members that let's treat this work as a committee now for now, and then our party positions will come at a particular point based on the very same procedure that is laid out within the rules. So I think it's very important, in fact, that we'll end up being polarized by our political positions, and we'll win because we're saying, I know that politicians most of the time want to claim, you know, a particular space for themselves. But let's avoid that one for now. Thank you very much. Thanks, Bergman, for the input.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate what you said about not taking any political party view, but I think across all political parties, we are committed to deal with the scourge of child pornography. And we also receive a lot of complaints relating to pornography and adult content in general. And I think that is an issue that we've been continually raising with the broadcasters, with the films that are being shown. And I think that it is very important that we need to look at the whole issue of self-regulation, and I think that's where we're going to allow CASA to give us an input on that degree. I think both the broadcasters and the print media did concede that there were ways that they can improve that whole issue relating to tabloid magazines on the one side and the whole issue of the code of conduct as far as the BBC is concerned. Could I just ask, Chair, if you'd allow me, one of the issues that we really discussed last week, and that's related to the criminal sanction in terms of Section 27 relating to child pornography, and I think that is a very important aspect, and maybe the representatives of the print media could just dwell on this question as to whether they see themselves subject to that Section 27 criminal sanction when one relates it back to the other clause, which gives them an exemption. And that obviously will give us a lot of clarity as a way forward in a particular way when we look at that aspect tying up with the issue of self-regulation. If, as we read that, that amounts to a criminal sanction tied up with self-regulation, then that, in our view, deals with the issue of child pornography. If they do not see themselves subject to that, then obviously it helps us to look at legislation to make it very clear. And I'd also ask you to bear in mind the lawyers that are representing the print media, how they see, I think it's section, you might not have it with you, but section 22, which makes it an offence to use children for the or benefiting from child pornography in terms of the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill, which, as you know, is not being passed by Parliament yet, but it does contain the same similar provisions, making it a criminal offence to gain any benefit or in very general terms from child pornography at all. Thank you, Chair. Those are two specific issues that they can dwell on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also add to what you and my colleague have already said. In addition, Chairperson, one of the challenges raised by the community chairperson is lack of monitoring by ICASA and press ombudsperson. And again, chairperson, there is challenge on the laws where they are saying compliance officer have more powers than ICASA. In the meantime, chairperson, we know ICASA is chapter 9 institution. Thank you.
Do you have any other points for members to make addition on the input? Quite disappointed this morning, you are saying part of what we wanted to do is that there were various DVDs of the public hearing as we are moving all over the country. Therefore, we have asked Parliament to prepare some arrangements there, but it's clear to me that the arrangement that Parliament has provided cannot in fact do exactly what we want. Therefore, it's an unfortunate situation again when it comes to support and, you know, the results that the Parliament provides to committees. We have asked the same sometime last week that this arrangement must be done, and clearly the poor kind of a gadget, maybe our stakeholders at some point will help us to come with some kind of a better system in this institution. We wanted to just give you synopsis of the views of the public around the issue that you are dealing with this morning. And that's the thing. But we'll try, as we engage, we'll see if the senior people will still come in and just have that part of the public, you know, commenting around the bill. So that the issue is not only about
members of parliament who don't know what that means, but here the view of the public is what they're saying about this particular issue that you're dealing with. So it's still unfortunate that my acknowledgement right now. But we deal with it during the course of the day. Therefore, I think we have noted the points that the members and myself have raised. Therefore, the management, I think, will approach this discussion this morning will be to give, having listened to us in the last presentation, and to give them, especially on this issue of the new draft code of conduct, for us to understand how they're going to capture the concerns that we have. And then I think I've already spoken to the chair at some point, just to sympathize on the approach in which we want to hear. But therefore, we will definitely want to do that, give you that the opportunity to give us. Therefore, we'll then call on stakeholders. Oh, yes, we couldn't just raise their hands. I think we don't want to go specific to say a panel or whatever, but as we are here, we will spend some time today. But we'll give almost everybody an opportunity to speak. But you can just identify yourself and then you can then make your comments, which is your further comments after the single comments before. Okay, so that all of us, we have engaged in this issue. It's what is nice about South African Parliament and our democracy is that I think rubber stamp or, you know, bulldozer democracy. We allow people to participate, gain chance, and come up with wonderful solutions. Compare with other countries, we just wake up in the morning, make a law, as it following. Here we're different, very, very different. We're very, very different people, and I really appreciate that. So we can give you a chance just to take us through.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Why not take Mr. Mashishi, well, just introduce yourself for the name.
My name is Terrence Mashine, the chairman of ICASA, the Independent Communication Authority of South Africa. I am with Councillor Kobus van Rooyen, who is accompanying me on this issue that is for deliberation today. And he certainly is more well-versed, as he's been throughout the greater part of his public involvement with matters of this nature. He will certainly give insight as to what we are doing in ICASA in this matter. But I sincerely want to put across that I know it's an issue, especially child pornography, of national concern, given the fact that it does affect our young generation, who are still vulnerable, still growing, nimble in physique, in emotions, mental, acting, and we need to nurture their growth so that they are then part and parcel of a very, very, very vibrant, productive, civilized society. And in this particular respect, it behooves of us as adults to ensure that they will bequeath a proper legacy to the future generation. I don't think there could be any disagreement amongst all stakeholders as to the importance of this issue, and that if needed, we cannot bury our head in the sand and just let it pass and say nature will take its course. Nature will take its definite course without view to any other favoring mechanism that will ensure civilization. We must exploit nature for human development and also for civilization. Exploit it to the extent that we can in terms of our intellectual input. In this particular respect, we as ICASA have a mandate to regulate broadcasting services, and I think it is important for that to be noted. We are nowhere near the issue of having anything to do, unless otherwise, with the print media. Ours is the electronic media. One could argue, well, whatever appears in the media
can also be translated into some kind of electronic media. It's true. Today we've got a converged environment. Things can come via the computer, via broadcasting, via telephone, etc. So there are situations where we are trying to do catch up. While we welcome technology, we do also recognize the limitations that we may be having in cabin technology. And there could be a need for the balance to ensure that while we welcome advanced technology, which contribute to advances in society, we must be very, very careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater in this particular respect. With that in mind, I would certainly hope that we are here not to criticize each other, but to critique the issues. I think there's a difference between criticizing and critiquing. We would like to share our knowledge, experience, understanding, background, etc., to come to a commonality as to a way forward in this particular matter, and hopefully come out with a common set of agreement. It's not about point scoring, one-upmanship. It's all about, I know there is a situation where they say politicians are here to want to consider about the next election. But safe to say that statesmen are here to consider about the next generation. And I think that that's all where the heads of statesmen here, or statespeople, concern ourselves about the next generation and not the next elections. So questions of one-upmanship should not be an issue. We share notes, we have changed our ideas, and we will therefore, with my colleague here, tell you what we have done, what our understandings are. We do have a ICASA code, which will be elaborated upon, and also the DCCSA code, which are very similar in very important respects. Even though the DCO is a little bit more onerous, the DCCA has got an addition to what we have in terms of ICASA code. So ICASA code is equal to DCCA code plus 3, something like that, if I were to use just a mathematical.